Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers. Yes, we are back.
We're back. We are back from the Dragon of the Cons, Dragon Con, which is in Atlanta, Georgia, and is always over Labor Day weekend. It's a fun one that loves to have us there, and we got to meet so many travelers. That was such a fun experience to have these travelers who came to see us, who were so excited even to get a picture with us, right? Which is always weird to us because we're like, why would you want a picture of us?
It's so funny. We're never ones to say, oh, do you want to take pictures with us? But it was so funny that so many people came up and asked, and we had a couple that were like, scared to ask. We're like, no, we're regular people. We love it. So thank you.
Yeah, so travelers, if you ever run into us and would like a photograph, just ask, because me and Mark have no shame when it comes to taking pictures, and we don't have to look perfect. Trust me, we both know we're not influencers.
Yep. And we also do not charge for autographs.
Oh, ever. God, no.
If you bring up a book and it's well-worn or whatever, you bought it at the CVS downstairs at the promenade, we're happy to sign it. So if you know, we sell books at our events, we sign the books that we sell, but if you bring up one, it's fine. We're happy to sign it.
So one of the things that happens at Dragon Con is we get put on a lot of panels, and a couple of the panels we were put on were in ballrooms, and they said, oh, you're live recording, blah, blah, blah. So me and Mark brought all of our equipment, and then they said, no, you're not allowed to record it. We're recording it, and it'll go on Dragon Con TV, which is cool because we were on TV. But you just got to get a link in the notes. We were hoping to post those, but we weren't able to post those because they don't allow it. But we threw a link in the show notes so you can see. And some of our really good other YouTubing friends.
Yeah, Jay and Velling Around, they got a picture of us, or a video of us, and I am posting that. We'll put the link to that down there. It's already in our Erie Travels Discord and our Erie Travels Facebook group. They are all there. But you can, if you haven't caught them, I'll put them in the show notes for this too. But we also had Dots Adventures took some video of us too. And so between them all, you can probably piece together the full panel.
You can, and it probably will be better that way. Just going to say, at our first panel on Friday, which was one of these live panels, Mark's mind was blown by a group of travelers.
Yeah, so I was.
We're on stage and we're getting ready. Mark's doing his warming up the crowd because he can't help himself, which is amazing. Just saying hi.
Well, I got to explain that real quick. Whenever I go to a panel, for decades, we go to these cons and you always go to the panel rooms, and the guy is sitting up on stage, usually the MC or something, and he's just sitting there, and the crowd, the panel guys are all just sitting up on stage, panel girls sitting up on stage, and they're talking to each other, and the audience is just filing in and all that. If you're filing in, you get bored. You start pulling out your phone, you start picking up your phone, you start Twittering on your phone, you do whatever you want to do on your phone. As an entertainer from the background, right, I worked on Nickelodeon TV shows, I worked on terrible TV shows, some of them were for a live audience. What you don't see in those is before those shows start taping, there's usually a comedian or an opening act or something like that just to get the crowd riled and ready before they even start the cameras. So that's something I always do at the panels and stuff that I host. If you get there early, I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm going to give you some bonus stories. I'm going to have fun to keep you engaged So I hate just sitting there, but then they wouldn't turn on our mics on the second one.
No, that was very funny. I guess they got notified by the first one, but we don't like just sitting being stared at. That's not our jam. We are not good at sitting and just being stared at, although we do appreciate it. We know it's uncomfortable. So Mark's doing this whole entire thing, which is fine. We're bantering with the crowd, saying hi. And in walks something that we didn't even think was possible. So I know we're doing a lot of buildup to this, but part of the buildup, travelers, is this. One of the compliments a lot of times writers and stuff can get is people dressing as their characters. Or Jonathan Mayberry, who we'll talk about in a minute, had somebody dress as him. And so we're not expecting you to dress up as us. That's not a thing. But in walks four people dressed as different cryptids.
Yeah.
One of them was Bigfoot. One of them was the Mothman. One of them was
the Hat Man.
Yeah.
And one was a Ravenmocker.
Yeah, sorry, Ravenmocker. Then one, so it was Mothman, Ravenmocker, Bigfoot, Hat Man. Was there five of them or four? Anyway. And the numero uno was the bench leg. Yes. Somebody dressed up as Mark's hometown cryptid, the bench leg, and she or they did it perfectly. Yes. That is the image you see with this episode. We'll absolutely look at it. Please, please, please. Because she was, they, whatever, was brilliant. Brilliant.
Brought him up on stage in front of the crowd because that was just unbelievable. One of my family cryptid is going viral. So it's fantastic. I'm glad it's breathing life into others. And to know, I mean, I expect the Mothman cosplay. I did not expect a Ravenmocker cosplay. That was unusual. But then the bench leg, oh my gosh, warmed my heart to no end. I'm still floored by that.
Wish I could have captured Mark's face in the moment he saw it. I wish I kind of knew it was coming.
Once the brain kicked in, because I was like, this is a beautiful cosplay, it's a beautiful dress, and had like a golden calf face. And then suddenly the wooden leg comes out, and I just lost it. I was, are you that bitch leg? Oh my God.
And Mark was flustered to start our panel. It was a lot to take in, but it was such a compliment. So to those cosplayers, those travelers, those cosplaying travelers, thank you so much for that moment, because those are the kind of moments that we feel like we're all together as a family and as a group having those moments. So we love that. It's not required, but that was fantastic. So thank you to them.
I remember a Sarasota Comic Con, a lady came dressed as Carrie's illustration of the Lady in White from Erie, Florida. And that's how long it's been since we've seen something like that. So that was incredible. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then so many, a lot of these things, we ask how many people have heard the podcast or how many people are just here for cryptid stories. Usually it's a small handful there that are actual listeners and most are just there for cryptids. This was, gosh, I'd say 60-40. It was pretty crazy how many people were fans of the podcast now. So that was incredible. So
we're growing. Don't forget to tell your friends.
Yes, so, invite more travelers.
So when we're there, we do a lot of other panels because we get thrown on panels left and right. So Mark did another panel on creepy history with one of his authors that we love, Sam Baltrus, right?
He did an anthology called Haunted Travels, and they used one of our stories in it, like a different version of the Lightning Lady of Cades Cove from our book, kind of more streamlined version. But we did a panel together, the two of us. He's always an honor to talk to. He is the king of New England travel. We're going to get him on the show soon, as soon as he's done. We're all in spooky season right now. All of us are busy. So we're going to try to get guests. It's just tricky.
We got to do a Penguin panel. So if you have not seen the new Penguin television show that's on HBO, it's I think it's an 8-episode series, but it takes a very different look at the Penguin character from Batman. and a very different look at Gotham, which is amazing. Yeah. And at some point we might do an overall episode on our favorite Batman DC stuff. But right now we'll just say Mark's dressed as the Penguin. And so at some point we'll have to post some of those pictures. So it was really fun to have him do that panel, and I got to moderate it. So it was really kind of fun talking about those characters, and people showed up dressed as Penguin and Sophia, one of the other characters from the show. So it was very nice.
We had a Burgess Meredith Penguin come in too. So I was very happy about that. So,
yeah. And then I got to do the next day. So if you guys have not seen the show Yellow Jackets, it is like the Lord of the Flies meets Mean Girls. I mean, it's just, it is dark. Even my husband, like when I was watching it, is like, this is too graphic. This is too dark. It's worse than my murder shows. But as part of it, if you know anything about Yellow Jackets, I was given, we all chose cards. This wonderful audience member dressed as the Antler Queen, and I pulled the Queen of Hearts, which means I am the ruler. So I am now the Antler Queen. It was so much fun, and it was neat to go down because it's a show, if you haven't watched it, travelers, where you kind of have to decide, is this mental illness or is something paranormal going on? And I can tell you after three seasons, I have no idea. I can still go either way, but it's a very amazing show to be on. And it was fun doing that panel talking about it. So if you haven't watched that, I suggest you grab some yummy popcorn and jump in, or you might not be able to eat, especially near the end of season one.
Yeah.
Don't do barbecue. I'm just warning you. Don't eat barbecue while you're watching that show. You won't be able to finish it.
the horror track allowed us to do, I got to participate in a panel on the 90th anniversary of The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes.
So, which was a lot of fun. We got to talk to a lot of film history. We got to talk a lot of nerdy horror facts and some just general Frankenstein knowledge as well, which was really, really cool. I love the horror track. We love the X track. That's the one that's the paranormal track that usually has us. We did the paranormal track. A couple of our friends, there was a new skeptic track that our friend Daniel Reed was part of. And they had a full track of paranormal skeptically, which was pretty cool. And but then we also got to do one on Sunday. I got to do one on Edward Gorey and his 100th anniversary of oh man, if you don't know who Edward Gorey is, look him up. But his illustrations for Dracula are some of indelled in my mind. But also everybody knows his little gruesome small littles. I can't remember the name of it. He's always good with the alliterations. But you might know him from the credits to the old PBS show Mystery. Those dark black and white illustrations are probably what he's most famous for. And yeah, we were talking about him for his anniversary, which was very cool. Not something you'd expect. And I didn't think anybody was going to show up for that because he's such kind of an obscure figure. But man, we had a packed panel for him too. It's Dragon Con, baby. Everybody loves everything there. So. Yeah.
And we had a very cool thing. So I did a panel with several authors, including one of our friends of the pod and one of the people that wrote an amazing review of Eerie Travels, which is Jonathan Mayberry, who loved the Eerie Travels Dark Side of the Smokies book. And we got to give him a book, which was nice. And I got to do a panel with him on, you know, different ways to look at horror creatures like vampires and stuff, like different takes on them, how to kind of reinvent these monsters that already exist, which he's done a lot in his books, and I really enjoyed them. So that was a fun panel. But then we got to take him to lunch and somewhat scare the crap out of him. No, just kidding. Our friend of the podcast, Valerie, was with us, which was absolutely amazing. And we got to do just a really fun lunch and talk about all things weird and cryptid. And I'm sure we're going to get to have him on our show when he's done with his busy season too. But he's a big fan, and it was very fun because we're big fans. And I got him to sign a book for me, which I've been waiting on, which was his Keg in the Dam series. And he has a character named Took, who says things by the balls of whatever all the time. And he wrote a really cute dedication in the book in Took's voice to me. So that was really fun. Mark, what were your thoughts on the Jonathan Mayberry encounter?
Oh, it's always fun. Jonathan and I go way back. We'd done a couple signings together at Spooky Empire back in Florida over the years in the writer's track. And we hadn't seen each other physically in a long time. But when I reached out to him about the new book, he was like, oh, excited to read it. And then when he read it, he was like, oh, this is more fun than it should be. So that was very, very, very fun. And he wrote our blurb for it. And then Bumpy, I told him we'd be together and you were going to be doing a panel with him. And he's like, oh, well, we'll talk when we, and it's a first time we'd been together in years. So he and I are kind of like separated at birth. We have a lot of the same friends and things, and we all grew up on the same thing. So always a pleasure, Jonathan, we love you. So you're amazing. So
absolutely. And so, you know, that was fun. We did the panels. We also got a chance to go to the vendor area and see some really cool creations and artists. I do have to do a shout out. I'll include a link to her. So I walked past the table and they had a cross stitch pattern that's had bees all over it. And, you know, I love bees. So I immediately was drawn in. And the cross stitch pattern said, please do not summon Candyman into this bathroom. And it reminded me of Belting Axolotl. And I was like, yeah, I need this pattern in my life. And I grabbed it. And then I saw this person had they're called Spot Colors. And they had a book called Monsters in Mayhem Cross Stitch. And I bought their last copy because she was like, I had no idea it was going to sell so well. But it has Bigfoot, Jackalopes, Cthulhu, Mothman, like it has all these cute versions of all the cryptids. So I bought it. She signed it for me and she's just amazing. So I'm going to include a link at spotyourcolors.com. But if you are into cross stitch at all, I heavily recommend it. And then we got to see one of our other artist friends, Deanna Davoli, who now has a book of her art, a table book of her art, and it has all of her stuff in it. And she has a little dark Victorian vibe to her, you know, little darkness in her art, which we appreciate. And Mark, who were you able to see?
I got to see one of our favorite artists, Kit Steele. She does amazing art. She does a lot of mermaid stuff with a horror bent to it. And that fits our new bathroom perfectly since we're doing all under the sea creatures and stuff. So we got her to do, she did some gator merm people. So they're like half gator and then half hoodoo. So it was like one was Papa Legba and one was Marie Laveau. So it's perfect as mer creatures. And she's just super talented. She does a lot of foxes and, folklore, stuff like that. So she fits very well for us. We actually saw her again the following week because we went back to Atlanta for the World of Oddities Expo a week late, barely a week later in the same building. And it was a completely different group of artists and things, but she was there and she'd spent the whole week in Atlanta because, hey, you know, you're doing Dragon Con doing this. Why not? Why leave?
Yeah.
But we also got to go to the celebrity area.
Yes.
Which it's so different than the celebs at most major cons. Like when you do MegaCon, you go see a celebrity, you're waiting 8 hours to see the big celebrities and all that. Even the minor ones get mobbed at those. And some of the autograph conventions, you'd maybe get a little more time with them. But Dragon Con, you can walk right up to most celebs. There'll be a line, but it's never 10, 20 minutes. Even the big names, yeah, you'll get like an hour wait, but that's still nothing compared to some of the major, major guests. And you can just walk right up and start chatting with them. You don't have to buy anything, but of course you want to. They're there to get money too. Don't abuse their time just because they're being nice. We got to talk to Deborah Ann Wall quite a bit. So we love her. But Jessica from True Blood and Karen Page.
She basically did her vampire and bit you.
Yeah, she bit me. It was great. So hard to argue that. But I love her because she's just a big D&D nerd like me. So we love her for that.
Yeah. I got to see Captain Hook from Once, yep. which is one of my favorite television shows, and he might be my favorite captain. I'm just going to say he is adorable. Colin Donahue. And he also told us that he was involved in some exorcisms. We're trying to get him on the show because I will fangirl and Mark will have to control that entire conversation.
Speaking of exorcisms, we got, you know, like I said, the cast of Evil and yes. and Mike Coulter. He was like, to research Evil, that he was still filming Luke Cage, and then he had already gotten the part on Evil when they'd found out Luke Cage was being canceled. And people were like, oh, we really want you to do Luke Cage. He's like, yeah, but I'm doing this other thing that's really cool. But they took him to Rome to learn about priesthood and all that. But they also took him to some exorcisms.
Yeah.
You have to see some real exorcisms. He's like, oh my God. Yeah. It was crazy. And then he was right next to Katya, that's from the show too. And oh my gosh, they were adorable. We got their photo together. Just a selfie at the table. They were perfect. We couldn't ask for better.
They were, and here's the thing, when you meet a lot of these celebrities, very much like we were saying in the beginning, yes, we have a degree of celebrity. We know that we're out there, different roles apply. But they're all people. And the majority of the time, there might be a little just making sure they're safe interacting with fans. But they're all very sweet. Like, we did not have one bad experience with any of the people at Dragon Con and running into them and meeting them and all that. They're very approachable. As long as you use manners and you're not, like, attacking or grabbing and, you know, like, there is consent with everything. But they were amazing, just so sweet. And in the second half of this, Katya started us off on an interesting story that involves some ghosts of Dragon Con. And we unfortunately had to inform her that that's probably what she was experiencing. But we'll talk about that in the second half. I think the last half I really want to talk about is, or the last part before we go to break, is the cosplay. So one thing Dragon Con is absolutely known for is some of the best cosplayers on the planet. We could have some cosplay ghosts in there. We wouldn't know it. It's so well done. You know, and you can take pretty much almost any fandom you can imagine, and somebody comes in some sort of costume for it. And there was a bunch that, you know, and me and Mark love to play the obscure costume game with each other and see if we can spot obscure costumes, you know. And it's funny because some of them are done so well that you're like, is that person actually dressed up or is that how they dress up as a character? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, there was... I think some of the ones, I love the ones that's kind of like plays on words and stuff like that, or bending the cosplays or merging the cosplays. One of my favorites was there was a guy wearing the red sweater and he had the King puppet from, and he was Mr. Rogers, but he had a Captain America shield. He was Captain Rogers, which I thought Captain Mr. Rogers. I thought that was fantastic. There was one that I have to shout out that was just incredible. He was in the dress. He had the mink stole. He had the floppy hat and just exactly what you expect with the sign from MASH of all the locations. He was Klinger from MASH. And I was just like, wow, I did not expect to see a Klinger cosplay at Dragon Con, but there it was, of course. So,
oh my gosh, of course, yes. And of course, one of my favorite cosplays, which it's so easy to do, but it makes me laugh every time I see it because I'm a big fan of the movie Mean Girls, was the guy who has a sweatshirt tightly wound around his head and glasses. And it's a little sign that says, she doesn't even go here. And that's from Mean Girls. But our friend J.M. Paquette, who was there, shout out to her, saw it, took the picture, sent it to me immediately. And of course, it made me laugh my ass off because I always think that's funny.
Jen and Val stepped up for that second big ballroom panel for us at the end of the day.
Yeah. Sunday.
We would have been overwhelmed at that first one. Eric and I, we thought we could handle it, Erica, me and Carrie, but we were slammed. And so for that last one, we pre-signed everything. We brought every book we had
Because the first panel we sold out, they were all gone. We brought like 20 books and we didn't.
Yeah, we brought a suitcase worth of books. We should have brought, you know, a freaking forklift full of books.
Yeah.
But so this one, we brought everything we had in the Erie Mobile, which was a lot. And we, again, sold out. I think we had like 3 books left when we left. So it was insane. But Jen and Val helped us quite a bit handle the crowd there. So
yeah, I don't know what we would have done without them. So no. Thank you to both of them.
Yeah. Completely. And thank you, Travelers, for overwhelming us with that. That was,
yeah,
that was insane. Oh, and so one last thing on cosplay. Going every year, we can tell what the big things are in fandom, right? We learn real quick because you just see so many cosplays of the same thing. Baldur's Gate is still one of the top. That was the big for the last 2 years, but it's still up there. The second, I would say, the battling for the top was K-pop Demon Hunters and the video game Clair Obscur 33, which now I realize I have to play that game because so many people were cosplaying it.
So he played that game and he loved that game. He thought it was amazing. Yeah. And I was telling him about all of the different characters cosplays that we saw.
There were so many in the baguette outfit with the baguettes on their back, shoulder strapped and wearing the mime looking shirts, the French shirts. And then the others were the K-pop Demon Hunter, you know, Saja Boy fans and the girl fans. And it was amazing. And there's a big thing at Dragon Con. There's a hallway that you have to walk through one of the hotels. And it has the shrines of various cults of Dragon Con that have evolved over the years. There's some FedEx guy gets badges every year. And then there was a shrine to Joanne's Fabrics that had a RIP with lots of candles and stuff. And then there was one to the Junyi from K-pop Demon Hunters, which was just hysterical. Man, that was gold, man. That was gold.
So. Yeah, it was amazing. I have to say, so much fun. We can't wait to be back next year, and we'll have to see where they land us. But we know that if you do want to come see one of our panels at Dragon Con, I would suggest getting there a little early because they do max out. And we're not saying that from ego. We're more saying that if you're a traveler and you want to be there early. But we just shout out to all of our new travelers who have joined us since Dragon Con. We absolutely adore that you're here and can't wait for you to take this journey with us. I mean, what's really exciting is the reception of Dark Side of the Smokies. And then Mark is on the cusp of the Dark Heart of the Appalachians, which is
While we're at Mothman, we're doing the drive to make sure it's cemented in and locking in any places that might have closed or, you know, but are now reopened, stuff like that. We're going to lock it into place and put that book together next. So we're excited. We're going to take some last minute photos. Carrie and I are all there. Erica and I have already done the bulk of it with our travels when we did Grafton. So we'll be back for just a few little stretch goals. And we'll see if some of those bonus travels that everybody loves so much from the last book, we'll throw some of those into that are just a little out of reach, but too much fun. And then we've got one last thing I want to say about Dragon Con and to all of those new Dragon Con listeners. Yes, when we talked to Katya and Mike Coulter from Evil, we asked them if they had any ghost stories. And Mike's like, oh, yeah, Katya's got a ghost in her hotel room. And she's like, no, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know. She's very much Erica. Nope. Didn't want to. Nope. And then we had to tell her about the ghost 2 floors down from her. So it wasn't in her floor, but maybe she's got something else. But she was not having it. But she was enjoying us telling the story, but she was also freaked out. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about more ghosts in Atlanta. So for those of you just joining us who want the stories and what we usually do, that's coming after the break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
And we're back.
Yeah.
For the non-video people. These videos are going to go up, by the way, hopefully soon. We're working on that. But, Mark, so we're talking about evil, and she says, Mike Coulter says she has a ghost. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to know about it. And then the guy said, well, you know, there's a ghost in that hotel, right? And she was like, nope. And then she's like, wait, no, tell me about it. And then she's like, wait, don't tell me about it. But then Mark told her about it.
So yep. It's just what I had to do, right? It's just one of those, there's this story that goes on there. We talked about it in one of our first Dragon Cons. And it's one of those, I can't describe it easily because it's when you go to the Atlanta Marriott Marquis, it's probably one of the most famous hotels at Dragon Con, right? It's got that big iconic lobby that just goes up and up and up, 47 floors of you look up from the inside at. And everybody, it's just a dizzying height. And people go, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And she was staying on the 26th floor.
Not of the Marriott, Hyatt.
Sorry, it's okay.
Marriott is where we were talking to her. There are five hotels. It's easy to get confused there.
Yeah, easy to confuse. My apologies there. But the Hyatt, yes. We were talking in the Marriott. Hyatt is where the accident occurred. So a man at some point had gotten drunk at an event, not Dragon Con, but had gotten drunk at an event and fell involuntarily. That's how it was described, as an involuntary suicide, from the 26th or 24th floor of the Hyatt. And again, just another one of those amazing look down from above locations.
But he was wearing something really, really cool when he took his accidental
heart printed boxer shorts. Yes, that's all he was wearing. And he fell and did not succumb to his wounds. And the reason involuntary suicide, he was drunk or under the influence or both, didn't really say, but his ghost has been seen many, many times. And again, it's one of those people see him running around and go, what is going on? And then he disappears. It looks like he's going to jump and then he just fades away. So some people say he knocks on doors around there, and that's what she experienced, was a knocking on her door. And I mean, that happens. People knock on doors in hotels.
No, but I think there was more than that. And when we explained to her about this ghost, it kind of freaked her out. She was like, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And we were like, cool. We're so glad Eerie Travels could deliver this message unto you.
Yes.
So
welcome to the world of spookiness.
Yes.
So, all right. But anyway, when you're traveling to Atlanta and you do want to see some haunted locations, I'm going to give you a quick top 10. All right. So that'll be second half here. So the first one I recommend is out by Stone Mountain. There is Stone Mountain Park, which is another one of those kind of historical parks where they move all the historical buildings when they want to rebuild in that area and they don't want to kill the building, but they'll just put it somewhere. They moved the Thornton House there. And the Thornton House is believed to be the oldest restored home in Georgia. It was built in 1784. It is also considered one of the most haunted locations in the state.
Yeah.
Never mind the Atlanta area. And now this house has actually been moved a few times over the years, and now it's in its forever home, hopefully in Stone Mountain Park. But the activity there is mostly this young girl, a preteen. Her spirit has been spotted many times on the staircase, and she doesn't like other girls. So she tends to pull the hair of any teenage girls who come visit the house. And the staff there say you can tell it's her because of cold spots and very unusual breezes throughout the house. She's even been known to blow out lanterns and candles. They do candlelight tours and she'll take them out very quickly. And it's not a very drafty house. Well,
yeah, no, don't love that at all.
All right. So, well, you can go to Stone Mountain Park's historical tour, which is just a great historical tour, but no, there might be some ghosts there too.
Yes.
All right.
I've been to Stone Mountain. It's creepy.
Well, Stone Mountain's got, and that's where Netherworld is.
Yes.
So, which opens end of September and goes to the 1st of November. Book your times, get there. The Disney World of Haunted Houses, you cannot miss it. So, all right.
Yes.
Up next, Rhodes Hall is affectionately known as the Castle on Peachtree because it looks like a freaking castle. It was built in 1904, and the upper floors are where the Georgia Trust for Historic Preservation is. Okay. And the lower portions are like some of the most opulent weddings in Atlanta take place there because it is beautiful. It is an event center.
Yeah.
And of course, something dark beneath the surface.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be light beneath the surface?
Yeah. So this house was built by Amos Rhodes, but his wife is the one who is apparently still there. She died on the property. And she supposedly plays with the lights, of course. She has also unexplained footsteps are reportedly hers. But she's not alone. She has some ghosts of children that are giggling about. And now the basement, though, has the dark and evil shadow figure. Very similar to the Hat Man. Looks like some people described him as Colonel Sanders, the photo negative, just like black with a white outline. But he's got a little goatee. It's
Does
interesting.
He stroke it evilly?
No, it just kind of stands there and looks menacing. So it's one of the most haunted locations in Atlanta. There are regular tours of the building, and they do offer paranormal tours for a fee where you can ghost hunt there to your heart's content. So
wow. I won't be going there, but have fun, travelers.
I'm just happy they brought back hot wings and the potato wedges to KFC. So all right. that's the light version of the Colonel. Thank you very much. Fun fact about KFC and the Colonel. If he had had 187 more votes, he wouldn't have invented Kentucky Fried Chicken, but he would have been a state senator from Kentucky. So
glad he lost that election, aren't you, Mark?
I am too, man. All right. So, all right. The next one is Meadow Nook. You got to love the name Meadow Nook. Very tranquil, right? This was built in 1856, and it's Atlanta's second oldest home. And it was built by Colonel Robert A. Allison. And it has recently been restored by the current owners, the Harrison family. They're really nice. And the Colonel, though, has some ownership for this house because his spirit is still there.
Really?
They say he lives in harmony with them, but he has occasionally smashed dishes in the kitchen.
Of course he has.
About something. But they say he's helped them find stuff that has been lost. And he will open cabinets for them and show that the item is right there and stuff like that. So I don't know if he's hiding them in the first place and saying, aha, here it is. But he seems more playful than scary, right? I think you could handle that one, Erica.
That one I could probably deal with, yeah.
I mean, I'd be a little concerned about the smashing dishes, but, you know, maybe he's like Thor, yo. Again, smash.
Well, it could be from one of those weddings where you smash the dishes and stuff.
Yeah. So we can't do a tour of haunted Atlanta without going to Oakland Cemetery, of course.
Of course.
So we have to have at least one graveyard. So The Oakland Cemetery is the oldest and largest cemetery in Atlanta. Dates back to 1800s, like 1850-ish. And wow. It's got a lot of Confederate dead, of course. There are 6,900 graves there over that. 3,000 wow. of which are unknown soldiers from the Civil War. 27 of Atlanta's mayors have been buried there. Most famously, Margaret Mitchell, who wrote Gone with the Wind, is buried there. So,
oh, wow.
Now, the Confederate section is kind of where all the paranormal activity seems to be centered. And people see Confederate troops roaming around the area. And one apparition is of a soldier being hung by one of the trees there in full Confederate garb. And
why would they hang one of their soldiers?
I don't know. That's, well, it would have been like a Yankee group that went through there or something, hung him.
I don't love that.
But most likely, the one that gets me is often people hear this disembodied voice reading a roll call of his regiment. So with a strong Southern accent. So,
you know, I'm telling you, these we could do an entire tour called Civil War Ghosts around the nation. Civil War. Yeah,
no, Civil War Ghosts is a thing. And you know me, I put them in every book we can because I love them. So the story of this one, though, that one has a bit of an urban legend to it. Like, if you're there, you might hear your name added to the roll of the dead. So.
Oh, I don't love that idea at all.
I didn't think you'd like that one. So. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So the L.P. Grant Mansion. This is another one of those big time haunted houses built by Lemuel Pratt Grant. Just L.P. Grant. Let's just stick with that.
Wow. Okay. That was a lot. That was a mouthful. Yeah.
The house has got a huge history, different uses. It was a Civil War hospital. It's been around a lot. There's a golfer, a famous golfer was born there named Bobby Jones. I'm not a golf fan, but somebody assured me he was important. but again, all sorts of paranormal activity. Most of that involved the Civil War hospital period, with nurses appearing, Civil War soldiers appearing on both sides. It's just an unusual place. So not
that sounds nice and weird.
So the New American Shakespeare Tavern. There you go, Erica.
I have been there.
Yeah. It's built to look like the Globe Theater from the outside. It's amazing. Yeah. Now, the activity there is like disembodied voices, strange lights. So three apparitions, though, that are pretty common. One's a young boy wearing like a blue velvet suit.
And, okay, so that sounds like a young Lestat. I like it.
Yeah, kind of. A woman who likes to rearrange things at the bar, and she knows moves stuff in the dressing room. She switches props. She even knocks down parts of the set, so she's not happy. And no, then there's this older man.
That's not the show she wants.
No. And there's an older man in Shakespearean garb who tends to walk around there. We think he's attached to one of the props or one of the original things they brought over. But he's seen around quite a bit. People think he's one of the actors, stuff like that. So, okay, wow. We're going to get to some, to an Erica Sleeps here, I think.
Ooh.
The Highland Inn.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those hidden ones. It's pretty much overlooked, I think. But it's the lower end of accommodations, but I loved it. It's basically a super paranormal location. So it's kind of got some shabby decor, but okay. I think it's just to let you know that it's haunted. The staff, though, said, nope, no ghosts. But then one of the leaders came up to us and said, no, it's 100%. This place is spooky. And it kind of looks like, it's just got this old hotel look to it, right? It looks like it's been there forever because it has. It's built in the 1920s. I think it was like 1925, late 1920s. And it's had a few modifications over the years. So it's kind of got like a maze of corridors and staircases. So it's really weird inside. It's got that Shining feel to it. It's like that kind of hotel that you just don't know, why am I here? But anyway, room 130 is a hot spot. People have caught cold spots, strange noises, shadows, a lot of strange photographs taken there by various ghost hunters and stuff. So,
oh, just, really?
Yeah. One of those interesting locations that doesn't seem to have a lot of detailed history about what happened there, stuff like that, because it's just been around so long and not a lot of records kept because it swapped owners quite a bit. I couldn't find any news articles about it, but those in the know, right?
Okay.
So we're adding that.
I won't be sleeping there. Do not love that.
All right. Well, up next is Barrington Hall.
Okay.
Built in the 1840s. And several generations of the King family have been there. Barrington King.
Okay.
And according to staff members, there's a lady in period dress who was seen around the property and has shown up in some spectral photographs a little bit.
Oh, I do not like it when they show up in photographs. That's terrifying.
A lady in white, as it were. And she often, you hear footsteps and you'll hear a sing-song voice from her kind of calling to you. And supposedly Miss old Barrington King's around there because you'll smell his cigar smoke occasionally when his presence is around. So apparently he likes Cubans.
What?
Apparently he likes Cubans. So that's everybody's.
I do like a good cigar, but I don't want to have one with a ghost, I think. I'm not sure. No. Maybe I changed my mind after a couple whiskeys and then the cigar with ghosts.
Okay. Up next, the Kennesaw House. Now, it's a museum nowadays.
Okay.
But before, during the Civil War, it was a hospital. Later, it became a morgue. So, I mean, we've got the perfect storm here, right?
Yeah.
So, people have gone into this building and then somehow wound up in the basement, knowing why they're there. And in the basement, they see the soldiers being operated on by surgeons. Now, we've had this story from Gettysburg. We've had this story from a few places. This seems to be a common thing with things that were hospitals during the Civil War. I don't know if this is a preternatural phenomena of a time warp or a time gate or something like, or if people are just seeing a stone tape and it's just so powerful that it happens. But so many people wind up in that basement and seeing and smelling the blood and seeing all the gruesomeness. And like I said, when I read these reports, I'm like, this sounds exactly like that one place in Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had a couple other hospitals that have told us about this, including Trans-Allegheny. They said that they had one person recognize that it was a war field thing. And then of course, Don Cesar in, St. Pete, where it was the World War II hospital, people often say they go to a strange floor that they didn't expect. The elevator opens and it's like a World War II surgery scene.
It's so amazing, but I really do think it's whatever a stone tape is, because I feel like it's replaying that moment. Maybe that moment had some catastrophic importance to it, not because necessarily the people, but because of the loss or the injuries or something like that, that's there. But that's super creepy. Super duper creepy.
Tension so high, emotion so high, it's got to be something to do with that. So now there is a lady in white there as well, seen up in the upper floors. But some people think it's the original owner's wife. But what's fun about her is she waves when she's about to fade away. So
well,
she gives you a goodbye.
Nice for her to let you know she's leaving. I guess that gives you a little time to try to snap a picture.
Yeah. Gives you a second or two.
Yeah. So.
Okay, now probably the most famous ghost story in Atlanta is at the Ellis Hotel. So one more sleep for you. This was known as the Wyckoff Hotel. That's where you find the stories about it. But the Ellis Hotel has just this dark fame, right? So December 7th, 1946, a huge fire claims the lives of 119 people.
Wow.
The hotel was dubbed the Titanic of Peachtree because of this. Mostly because in 1913, when it was built, the owner said, it's fireproof. That's just asking for trouble, right?
I was going to say, you probably shouldn't advertise these things. It doesn't go well.
Yeah. So many of the dead were burned alive. A lot died of asphyxiation. But a lot did the two towers. They jumped from windowsills just to try to get away from the fires and died from the fall. There was a single staircase. And of course, it became filled with smoke, toxic chemicals, and it just funneled it all the way up. Yeah. So it was closed, laid empty for many years, then restored and became the Ellis Hotel. So it's considered one of the most haunted places in Atlanta. People smell smoke. People feel burning sensations and fire, unusual heat, even though the AC is cranked. Lots of other paranormal activity there, like poltergeist style, things flying around the room. People hear screams in the night.
I just do not understand why one would go, you know, it's a great idea. Let's rebuild the hotel here.
Yep. Restore it. Yeah. Now, the other thing is the fire alarm there breaks out a lot at 2:48 a.m.
Which is when the other fire started, right?
Exactly. 1946. You got it. So
do not love that. And we have to remember back then, it wasn't like now where you get, I was in a hotel in Salem where the fire alarm went off with some friends and we evacuated. We were all in our pajamas and it turned out some idiot burned a bunch of popcorn in their room in a microwave. But, you know, we had the alarms going off in our room when the fire alarm system went off, right? And we, you know, were able to go to the hotel, whatever, exits, blah, blah, blah. We were only on the third floor, so it wasn't bad. But we forget that back then, there weren't alarms like that, that it was happening. It was having to go door to door and knock or ring bells or you're hoping. So, like, the reaction time of people back then was very different than the reaction time now. And nobody really thought, oh, wait, they got to escape. They have to get out. We got to give multiple ways for them to get out. So depending on where the fire starts, you can easily be trapped on upper floors, you know? Yeah.
100%. And that's where, if you want to sleep there safely, like a more Erica style, the lower floors are, the lower you get, the less activity you get. It's the upper floors.
So where if I'm ever forced to stay there, I will sleep in the lobby.
Downstairs. Yep. I guess the scariest one for me was reading about a couple who were staying there way up on the higher floor, and they heard a woman screaming and heard the children crying as she was trying to get help. So they called the police, they called room service, Yeah, that's just heartbreaking.
No,
so
it's heartbreaking. And to know that that's happening, there's nothing you can do to stop. It's very much like the Titanic. There were a lot of mothers who just put their kids to bed knowing they were about to drown.
Yep, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah. So
it is one of the top deadliest hotel fires in history. And it totally changed building codes and everything. So it all turned out better in the end. And the new hotel is built with much safer codes and all that. So
I hope so. But that's terrifying. Man. And no. Terrifying. Hard pass. Nope, nope, no, nope, nope.
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 All right. No for Erica. For Erica. But
yep.
But go to Dragon Con. Have fun.
Go to Dragon Con and stay in a hotel where you can get ghosts scaring the crap out of you, get no sleep, and then come see me and Mark on a panel. We love this idea.
Cortland Grand, that's where the extract is, and that's where our big ballrooms were that they put us on last year. Hopefully they invite us back. We love you guys. We'd love to be back. We'll love to do it again.
We'll have
new holler stories for you, new ghost stories for you, as always. My goodness. And then the horror track, thank you, Derek and crew. We love y'all. We're just happy to be part of that. Was that the fantasy track?
Urban fantasy track.
Yep.
Love that they throw us in there. It's very interesting because they have different, what they call tracks, and different movies, TV shows, different things are assigned to the different tracks. So we have to go, like we had to go Penguin, we had to go in Urban Fantasy. And so we, it sometimes bounces us around, but the cool thing is they have an app and you can look up people by name and you can look up different topics. And, you know, JM was on one for Bridgerton and The Witcher, ironically, and Lord of the Rings. And then, you know, we love our Miss Valerie Willis, aka Cummings, who was on Boinking Beasties, and that's and, a whole
historical romance she was on a panel on. So it was a
different dichotomy. Historical, we don't really ever take our clothes off romance, and then Boinking Beasties, which just monster smut. So you gotta love both of those.
And there are so many tracks. I mean, there's some just for specific shows, some for video games, some for, there's so much role playing going on there and other things. You cannot, I cannot recommend that enough. Dragon Con is one of those.
It's a great one, but get your passes early. It's way easier to do that. So
wear good shoes. Even if you're cosplaying, wear good shoes because it is up and down hills, five hotels. Some of them are linked, some of them are not. And parking is Atlanta parking, so expect that. But it's so much fun. I can't.
Amazing, and we love it. So
can't shout it out enough. But anyway, gang, that's it. We're done for this one. Oh my gosh, Erica, that was fun. And
it
now
was
we're off.
So much fun. It was exhausting. And now onto other travels. I know when this episode airs, we'll have more travels to talk about because we will have done the epic Mothman and others. So we are super excited. Please pay attention to our events page. It will tell you where we will be and where you can stalk us, find us, and get us to sign books for you and be in photographs and get all of Carrie's amazing art. And we're lucky because some of these adventures, we get the entire crew together, including our amazing producer, Bo. And sometimes celebrity guests like Paige LaVoie, who will be at Mothman with us. So we are super excited. So thank you, everyone, and all of our patrons who continue to support our podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It helps us to continue doing what we're doing. So with that, Mark, why don't you tell us all the wonderful perils of visiting Atlanta at Dragon Con or not?
Travelers, when you're out there traveling through wonderful downtown Atlanta, keep your eyes open for those wonderful sculptures that are all over the place. There's amazing murals on the walls. Visit the museums. Visit that puppetry museum. It's incredible. And then go to the wonderful Olympic Park. There's some amazing places there that are just so photogenic. Eat at all the amazing restaurants there. Enjoy the fun. Go for Dragon Con. Go for some of their other events. They are, it is just a great town for hosting. And then remember, there are ghosts. There are spectral visitors there. There are some scary things there. And they're not all just the traffic. And we'll see you on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.